Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to Paranormal Thoughts Podcast, and as always, thanks for joining me. In this episode, we're looking at the Westall UFO incident that happened here in Australia. But before we get into that, I just want to say if you enjoyed this episode or any of the previous episodes, please feel free to like and subscribe to the podcast. If you use iOS, please give us a 5-star rating. It really does help other people find the podcast. We are also on Facebook and Instagram. And the other big thing at the moment is that we have t-shirts that you can purchase from teespring.com. There will be a link in the description of this podcast. All right, well, that's probably enough of the formality. Let's just get into this. Let's get into the podcast, hey? The Westall UFO incident is something that I have briefly sort of touched on the podcast, most likely for the reason of it being one of the biggest, most cited UFO cases in the world, really, where over 200 people all saw the exact same thing at the same time. And anyone who, you know, does a bit of research into UFO sightings, it's never anything near that scale, especially when there isn't a ton of evidence to actually back up the claims of all these people, and that is because of a cover-up. So when you put all those things together, it's actually a massive case. So it took place in 1966 in Victoria, here in Australia. It was in the suburb of Westall. It was around 11 a.m. in Westall at the time, and three crafts were spotted over a primary school and a high school, hence the quite large numbers of people witnessing the craft. Some of the students saw the craft from the windows of their classrooms, and I know some of the kids started yelling, "There's flying saucers outside," and the teachers were kind of like, "Sit down, don't go anywhere, it's not lunchtime yet." And then, of course, it actually ended up being lunchtime not long after that. So the whole school went out on recess and they all went outside and saw the craft, the flying saucers. There's a lot of different accounts that are now available from a lot of different people who were there and explaining exactly what they saw. And some people say they saw three crafts and some people say they just saw one. I think depending on when they actually went outside would have impacted what they actually would have seen.
We were out playing sport on the oval. One of the kids yelled out, look up in the sky, you know, it's flying saucers. And I remember we all looked up and it really was. It was a round silver disc and it seemed to be very low over the school. And I remember kids screaming and running inside.
Everyone started moving, like a whole lot of zebras being terrified by crocodiles.
I went where the herd went.
I went into the staff room. I went to get a cup of tea. And then because I was a smoker, and this is something that has stayed with me for 42 years.
Yes.
I lit up a cigarette. And so I don't know how much I delayed before I went outside.
Everyone just took off out into the oval in time to see it lifting off from the oval. It was probably, I don't know, 50 feet or more in the air at that stage.
I see Andrew Greenwood, the science teacher, coming towards me, and he said, "Did you see it? Did you see it?" And he pointed up in the air, and I said, "No, see what?" have a very, very clear picture of him, and I remember almost exactly what he said. And he said it was up in the sky, it moved at incredible speeds, it hovered, it seemed to go away, and there seemed to be light planes. And he thought Cessnas from, he thought they were actually checking it out from the Roman airport.
Yeah.
And they were circling around it.
Behind the schools, there was a nature reserve called the Grange. And one of the crafts actually went down in that area. So a few of the kids jumped the fence and got really close to the craft. So we have students. Some of the teachers also went outside to see the craft. There are just locals around the neighbourhood as well, because obviously this wasn't just over a school. It would have sort of flown over the Westall area in general. And the craft were believed to sort of hang around for quite a couple of minutes, so enough time for people to get a good look at what they were sort of seeing. So all this goes down, right? And obviously kids are going to go home, tell their parents, tell their other friends. You know, it's going to be a massive story, right? So obviously word sort of breaks out, and the local news start getting involved and newspapers, and the principal holds a assembly at the school and pretty much tells the kids that they didn't see anything to not talk to anyone about it. Everyone's going to think you made it up, but you didn't see anything. That whole setting up a whole cover up within the school anyway. And then kids who would speak out to the media would actually get punished. And I guess this question around why the principal was doing that, was that for his own benefit, I suppose, because he didn't want anything to do with it, or was he being silenced by someone else? Footage of students being interviewed on that day after school by a local news station has now vanished. People have gone into the records to find that footage, and the canister is empty. One of the teachers at the school actually had a camera with her, and she snapped pictures of the UFOs. But her camera was actually confiscated by the principal and I believe they just described as a man in uniform. They had never seen him before, and they couldn't really identify what his uniform was, but he was definitely an outsider. The fact that they didn't just want her film, they wanted the whole camera, really does speak at length about what was going on. Not long after the flying saucers were spotted, about 20 minutes or so, military-type people started turning up and surveying the area where the craft landed over in the Grange. They were described to be in a camouflage-type uniform, which in the mid-60s, Australia didn't wear that type of uniform, so it's believed that they could have been American figures because America was wearing the type of camouflage khaki colour at that stage. There were American troops in the country because of the Vietnam War currently going on. I think it's really bizarre how they managed to get to the site within 20 minutes of the sighting happening, to sort of survey the area and see what actually was happening. Unless, I suppose, they were somehow involved in a test flight of some sort of top secret aircraft. But you would think that a aircraft being flown in Australian skies is probably a Australian matter, with the Royal Australian Air Force, and not that of United States. But in saying that, who really knows? They just somehow got alerted to it and were the first ones on the scene.
Les Medjew went to the Grange with his younger sister, but they saw what seemed to be a different unit.
We hid behind this tree, but fortunately this tree, the branches came down to the ground. We observed two army trucks, two men in the camouflage and two men in blue uniforms. And it appeared that a soldier was using a metal mine detector. He's walking around, sweeping back and forth.
Keep down, they'll see
The us. Next time I see them, they turned and they started kicking violently at the ground. The two officers decide then, time to come back. They come back to the truck and they were gone. And then we could enter the paddock.
Les.
We had no idea what we'd all walked into. We didn't know what those army men were doing. And all I can say, it was just, what is this? To have the army there and all the rest of it, it was something important.
So people were quiet about this for a really long time, until, I suppose, in the last decade or so, when it's sort of been dug up. And now, they had the 50th anniversary not too long ago, so it sort of always gets stirred up. And you know, the dust has never really settled on this because there's so many questions still. The fact that a lot of people have lived with this their whole life and have never been able to really talk about it, but now there's a really great support network. So heaps of the people have come forward. There's a great documentary titled Westall 66, A Suburban UFO Mystery. And in that documentary, we hear from a lot of witnesses, experts, talking about what actually went down on that day. So we've got a sighting with over 200 witnesses. There was photographic evidence that was confiscated. There was some sort of government involvement coming into the school, talking with children, surveying the site, and everyone was told to kind of keep quiet about this. And then it just kind of went away, which is insane to think. One of the biggest mass UFO sightings is just gone. One of the young girls who was attending the Westall High School at the time was Suzanne Savage. Suzanne has come out in the last few years and been quite vocal about her experience, and she's gone through hypnotherapy to recall what actually happened. Here's some audio from her from the Westall 66, A Suburban UFO Mystery.
I want to find some sort of proof. You know, no one's ever wanted to know the details before. You know, they don't want to know the story. I've seen UFOs or flying saucers, and they say, yeah, sure. What drugs were you on that day? And, you know, I was 13 years old. I was at school in the daytime. I wasn't on any drugs.
Slowly you start to drift. You're in the classroom. You're with Mr. Greenwood, who was the teacher there. There's a little fella comes running around and says, there are flying saucers outside, flying saucers outside. Everybody laughed. And Mr. Greenwood said, come on then, let's have a look. See yourself running down the Eiffel. One, two, three.
Even though I know it's true, the more I try to see it again, the harder it becomes, I think. I can see bodies, but I can't see people, faces, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I can still see the trees and the...
Yeah, and the things.
It was... Yeah.
I reached out to Suzanne a little while ago, and it's funny, she contacted me the day that a news story was actually run about 2 months ago. And as soon as I literally finished watching that news story, which was quite a bit of a piss take, not good reporting whatsoever on something pretty serious. But that's mainstream media when it comes to UFO sightings, isn't it? And probably within half an hour of finishing watching that, a message pops up on my phone from Suzanne saying that she'd love to come on the podcast and share her side of the story.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Suzanne, you were one of the students who witnessed the UFOs on that day. Can you start from the beginning and tell us what happened?
It was a very ordinary day. It was around about 11 o'clock in the morning. Beautiful blue skies, not a cloud in the sky. And I was in science class with Mr. Greenwood, and somebody came to the door and flew it open and said, "There's flying saucers in the sky." And I went, "Oh my God." It was just coming on to recess time, so the bell went, and then everybody got up and ran out, ran down to the corner of the schoolyard and was watching them. I say them because I think there was three, but, you know, over the years that's got a bit hazy. But then other people say there was three too. So I don't know. And I was actually standing with Mr. Greenwood, and he was looking up and saying, "Oh my God," and what have you. It hovered and it went down behind the trees. The Grange was a huge area that just had pine trees everywhere. And it, I don't know, it didn't stay down very long. And then it came up again and hovered again. And then just sort of turned on its side and took off. 1,000 miles an hour. It did last for, you know, a few minutes. We were watching it for.
So the craft you saw, what did it look like?
It was a typical flying saucer, like saucer on top of another saucer, you know what I mean? Two saucers are on top of each other. And it was a sort of a silvery, whitey colour, and the sun hit it. Bounced off and sort of hit you in the face. It took off at such incredible speed and it just disappeared. You know, there was no clouds in the sky. Oh, there was planes, yeah. Planes from Moravan. Yeah, I don't know what they were doing.
So you saw three UFOs that day. What were the two UFOs doing while the other one landed?
I seem to think that they were further away because they looked smaller. They didn't come down and land, as far as I know, but then I did see the two smaller ones further on. Yeah, see, everybody has got their stories. There's lots of stories to be told, but I'm only saying what I saw. Yeah, like there's people who were outside doing PE before I even went out there, and they saw it fly over the school ground. And, you know, they looked underneath it and they saw the underneath of it. So, yeah, that I'm a bit, you know, I wish it was me that saw it like that. Yeah, well, see, for 40 years, I never really spoke about it. I'd bring it up and say, you know, I've seen flying saucers. And people just look at you funny and they don't, I don't know, they think you're on drugs or something. So I just don't say anything. And then when they had that reunion for the 40th anniversary, oh my God, that was amazing. And I've been talking about it for 13 years now. I just wish that, you know, someone had called a reunion sooner, you know, when it was sort of fresher in my mind. I rang Mr. Greenwood way back then, in 13 years ago, and I just wanted to know whether his recollection was the same as mine. And yeah, it was. He said it word for word, exactly how I remember it, because, you know, you don't really forget something like that.
How much did you know about UFOs at the time? I know there was a few movies out and a bit of, it was sort of in the pop culture at the time, but what about, you know, people in the mid-60s in Victoria, in Australia? Did you know much about UFOs, what they even were, what they looked like? What was your understanding?
There was a movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still or something like that. I think that was it, yeah. We knew they were flying saucers because they were that shape. But then, you know, like we didn't have time to be skeptics. You know, we just saw these things in the sky and they were the same as the ones we saw in the movie. So they were flying saucers. And, you know, we didn't have time to be skeptics. We just believed it. And then we couldn't understand why all these people were saying it's absolute nonsense and rubbish and piffle and everything else. Like the headmaster, he called a special assembly and he said, I don't want to hear another word about these flying saucers. There's no such thing. Stop talking rubbish and get on with it, sort of thing. And, yeah, we didn't speak about it much. I've heard recently that he was scared. I don't know. That's just hearsay. There was another teacher who took photos. Then she had her camera confiscated by men in black type people.
After the incident, did you see anyone who looked like they were from the government or maybe from the Air Force, military, talking to students or teachers?
No, I didn't.
Okay, did you know anyone who did?
Yeah, well, my friend Joy, she was interviewed by Channel 9. Yeah, and it was outside the school. Somebody came and said, stop the interview, you get out of here, you get back into school, and that's it. Everyone just got shuffled around. And the film that was of her being interviewed, it's gone missing. It's a cover-up. Everything's covered up, and it drives me insane. Because yeah. I really want some sort of truth before I die.
What was the atmosphere like at school? So obviously the principal holds an assembly, tells everyone not to talk about it. It was a top-secret craft that the government are working on, so have you... What was everyone's reaction? Obviously, people must have talked about it, right? They weren't just going home and not talking to their parents about it, or what was the go?
Oh, no. Everyone went home, told their parents, like I told mine, and they said it was rubbish. So I just went, oh, okay. My father was the school photographer. I said, you know, bring your camera down and we'll take photos where it landed and all that sort of thing. He said, don't. Crap to me, because my dad was, yeah, very abrupt. And then Mum just said, oh, yeah, she went with him. And that was that. It's amazing, all the things you find out, you know, since.
Did you see any evidence of the ground being burnt or the grass being imprinted where the craft did land?
No, I didn't. I didn't go over there because I was a bit scared, but I wish I had of now. There was another friend of mine who he was working just down Eileen Road, just down near the Grange, and he used to go over there for his morning tea, just have his coffee and his smoke and what have you. And he saw this mark on the ground and he said, oh, that's a bit weird. I wonder what caused that. And he just didn't think another thing of it and went back into work. And then he thought, I'm going to have another look at lunchtime. And so he went back and it was the military people were there with it all marked off and they said, you get out of here, it's none of your business.
This is really interesting. What about the girl who went really close to the craft? Maybe she even touched it, some witnesses said, and that she ended up being hospitalised and she never came back to school.
Oh, yeah, that's Tanya. The funny thing was that she lived not far from the school. And there was another girl who used to go around to her place and play, you know, after school. And she went there just to see how she was. And there was someone opened the door and said, no, no one by that name's here and no one's ever lived here. And she was really baffled by that because she used to go to that house and see her all the time. She was the one who, I can't remember if she touched it or she was really close to it anyway. And then she fainted and then the ambulance came. All this happened, you know, these are the things that happened and there's no record of it at the school. Ambulance came, took her away and she was never seen again. But she is alive and she's living in Sydney or somewhere, but she doesn't ever want to talk about it. She would be a great one to get hold of.
After this event, did you become extremely interested in the topic and start to do your own research, or did you kind of forget about it and put it on the back burner?
Like, I'm sitting in my room here. I've got Westall High School photos of kids because Dad used to be the school photographer, and I've got all the class photos. I've got books. I'm surrounded by Westall. It's really consumed me in the last 13 years. But I just don't know where to go anymore. I don't know what to do, who to speak to.
What's your thought on extraterrestrial life? Do you believe that what you would have seen that day was potentially, that it was from another world, piloted potentially by another life form? Or do you think it could have just been a government experimental plane?
If that was something that was man-made, you would think that we would have them now in operation doing things, you know. It was how long ago? 53 years ago. That's a very long time. If they were man-made, we would have been using them now. They'd be like, you know, everywhere. They're definitely extraterrestrial.
So I guess what we can conclude with is that there was definitely something in the sky over Westall that morning. There's enough evidence in reports and eyewitness sightings to sort of go off, and that we do know there was other evidence that was destroyed or at least hidden from us. But other than that, we don't have much else, do we? That's always kind of the way, but I guess my thought is it could have potentially been a test plane, some sort of experimental craft for sure. But I think at the same time, though, that doesn't quite answer all the questions, I suppose. The fact of them saying that it was that and that it wasn't a UFO sort of goes against, I guess, what the government has been known to sort of put out to sort of, you know, give disinformation anyway, and kind of saying that it wasn't a UFO and that it was potentially some sort of secret government project is a bit backwards for them, that's for sure. Also, the fact that it sounds like the American government were involved in something that was taking place in Australia seems a bit strange as well. It may not have been extraterrestrials navigating this craft, but it's definitely, I believe, extraterrestrial in origin anyway, even if it was, say, the Australian government flying the craft. I'm not sure. We always sort of hope that it is something a little bit more than that. But I don't know, it's bizarre. It's definitely a massive cover-up, which is strange because it doesn't really, I guess it didn't really need to be in a sense, you know, because it's sort of, It makes you less skeptical, doesn't it, when things are sort of destroyed? And I don't know. What do you guys think, though? I want to hear your thoughts on this incident. It's probably one that I'm assuming some of you know, but it's also one that sort of gets a little overlooked. But it's definitely the biggest incident here in Australia that we've ever had. I know it definitely stacks up to worldwide reports as well. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. As I said earlier, if you enjoyed this episode or any of our previous episodes, please feel free to like, subscribe to the podcast. We're on Facebook, Instagram, all those good places. You can pick the podcast up at any good podcast hosting server that you like. Thank you to Suzanne once again for coming on and telling us her eyewitness account. It was really greatly appreciated to hear from someone. Thanks again, guys. I'll catch you in the next podcast episode soon. Thanks, bye.